Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're delighted to have you on the air with us this happy Thanksgiving season. By the way, Thanksgiving ought not to be just a day. It should be a season. And beyond that, Thanksgiving should be a mindset. We should be grateful to be American, should be thankful, especially as Christians, for what Christ has done for us on the cross. Thanksgiving. But before we get into the monologue and then the dialogue and the discussion today, I want to remind you that when we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. At some point in time, someone says, well, what you believe and what you say is because what Baptists believe and say. I said, no, it's because I'm a central Biblicist. It's what the Bible says. And Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said to his disciples, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the scripture, we're looking at the truth of the word of God. It's not just a book where there's an occasional tidbit of truth or not just a portion of truth. It is truth. And so when we face the issues, we do so not based on denominational dogma with its rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, and not based on some ideological, philosophical rhetoric, but based on the scripture. What does the word of God say? And ladies and gentlemen, the scripture has much to say about gratitude, the attitude of gratitude. The word thankful, being thankful, is something that ought to permeate our hearts and our lives. We should be celebrating Thanksgiving, but ladies and gentlemen, may I say, I believe we have a lot of Americans today that really are not thankful for what we have. But before we get into the further discussion and the dialogue today, let me remind you, you can join in this dialogue and discussion. We're talking about thankfulness, thankfulness. You can call 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you right through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can join together in dialogue and discussion. Sometimes at some point in this broadcast, you may simply want to call and say to the world what you're thankful for. That will be wonderful. Love to have you participate in this special Thanksgiving recognition broadcast today. Be ye thankful is a command in the scripture in Colossians 3:15. And in the Greek text, it's in the imperative voice, which simply means it's a command. It's not an option. So therefore, be ye thankful is the command of God in the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just share with you a little brief tidbit from an article by Tony Perkins in his Washington Report. It says, free to be thankful. Tony Perkins says, most Americans are too busy bustling around grocery store shopping, packing their cars for the trip home to stop and think about the significance of this week. But for a handful of people who at one point probably took the season for granted, like many of us, this year's Thanksgiving will be one to remember. And he goes on to talk about Pastor Andrew Brunson that was incarcerated in a Turkish prison for about 2 years and how Pastor Brunson is with his family this Thanksgiving and is thankful. He goes on to talk about in Iraq where Christians were hunted down by ISIS armies and chased out of villages dating back to the Old Testament days. Every day is an opportunity to be thankful. And so may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, even here in Tony Perkins' article, The Washington Report, he says, unfortunately, not all Christians are as lucky. The world rejoiced in the release of the Pakistani woman named Asa Abby, or Bibi, only to see the mother of five forced into hiding while angry Muslims take out their fury on all the communities of Christians, where Christians are terrified. This article further states, we live under fear. This is what Christians are saying in Turkey or in Pakistan. We live under fear. The whole country is under tension. People are afraid, and anything can happen in this situation. But ladies and gentlemen, we fail to recognize, we fail to recognize what we have as Christians today in America, where we are free, where we're a constitutional republic, where we have our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the protections that we have, notwithstanding the fact that we have multitudes of the those that are the socialist, Democrat, loose left, lost liberals that's trying to destroy our Constitution and take away our Bill of Rights, we nevertheless still have freedom today. America, a free nation. Yet most are not thankful. In fact, some of the statistics, ladies and gentlemen, that I've been researching says that about 71% of Americans see Thanksgiving simply as a time to watch football, to watch video games and video media, and simply to do nothing. I find that frightening, ladies and gentlemen. But every Christian should be thankful, thankful for our religious liberties, thankful for the freedom of worship, thankful for having churches and Bibles where are all banned in most Muslim countries and many other communist nations like many places in China, all of Korea, North Korea. Simply Christians are being persecuted, churches are burned, and the Bible is banned. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot to be thankful for. We should be thankful for salvation so full and free, thankful that Christ died on Calvary's cross for you and for me, thankful for God's provision for our president that I believe out of divine intervention in 2016, God gave us Donald J. Trump, and I believe that it's the hand of sovereign God that did so. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest today that I want to introduce to you, and we're going to talk about Thanksgiving together for you, our listeners, to participate and to join in. Brother Don Redmond is with me today in our studio. Brother Don is a candidate for Group 4 at Large, city council member, to be a city council member. Don is here today. Don, would you simply take a moment and talk with our listeners? Take a moment at this special Thanksgiving season. Just share from your heart why you're thankful, what you're thankful for, what you're thankful about your family, about our nation, and what we as Americans ought to be thankful for. Share with us, for our listeners.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here today and have a friend like you. I've known Dr. Youngblood for many years, and he's a good friend of mine.
Less than 100 years.
I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful for all the friends that I have in Jacksonville. But I am thankful for my family, children, grandchildren. God has blessed me in so many ways. My health, I tell you, we live in a country, as Dr. Youngblood was saying, this country has so much to offer.
Yes.
That so many people around the world do not have. I mean, people are dying to try to come to this country. And, you know, we just don't appreciate it. I was watching a program yesterday evening, and they were asking people, you know, about Thanksgiving and what they were thankful for and who they were thankful to. It was amazing how many people did not give thanks to God. I mean, they thanked the government. They thanked their parents. They thanked their friends. They thanked everybody. Mm-hmm. But God is the basis for Thanksgiving. It's the basis for all that we have. So I am very thankful for what God has given me, the abilities that I have, the health that I have to do some of the things that I do.
When you get our age, health is something to be thankful
for. I wasn't going to say that, yeah, that I can do what I can do at my age. I mean, I went on a 10-mile bike ride this morning before I went to work, and I work 6 days a week. I'm a small businessman. I thank God for my business. I've been in business for over 50 years, and God has blessed me there. He has blessed me I served on the city council for 8 years previously, and I accomplished a lot of things there and took a stand on issues that we need to get back at and take a stand on again.
Yes, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, if I can interrupt Brother Don's communication about thankfulness, I recall, and you may or may not recall, the 8 years he served on city council here in Jacksonville, but some of his opponents called him, I believe, Dr. No or something like that. He and a couple of others that were staunch believers on council would say no to anything that was immoral, unholy, ungodly, and that we ought not to do as a city. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can just insert this at this moment, this is the kind of person, this is the candidate, this is the type council members that we need in the city of Jacksonville. We need men that will stand with the backbone of spiritual integrity, of godly, how would you say, wisdom that will take a stand for us. And Brother Don, I say that with your presence, and I've said it behind your back. I'm thankful for your stand. And those years gone by when you were serving on city council, that you're willing to even go against the flow. Many times when the large percentage of the council members were against what you were saying and against your stand, and in some cases you lost the battle in your stand, in your vote, but nevertheless you won because of taking a stand. And so I'm thankful for that.
Well, I am thankful for people that will not sell their soul for anything that comes along. And you know, I've tell you, I've been disappointed in people many times that tell me I believe this, and I think this should be, but a lobbyist comes through and twists their arm and pushes them. They'll sell their soul to, you know, to the devil. And this is how we end up in the situations like passing an ordinance to give special rights to the homosexual community, the so-called human rights ordinance. Everybody has those same special rights or equal rights. None of us need special rights.
Well, you see,
I don't think I'm better than anybody else.
If I can elongate that conversation, Don, and you're exactly right. We don't need to carve out any category of people and give them special rights. Under our federal constitution, under our state constitution, and under all of the laws of the state of Florida and the city council of Duval County, everybody is equal. But we have a whole group of folks in our city and across the nation, make up less than 2% of total society in America, and yet they want special, exceptional rights that are not afforded other citizens. That's wrong. And you took that stand in the battle before, and I am thankful that you have that position with integrity to continue to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redmond. Don is candidate for Group 4 at Large, city council member. The primary election is in March of next year. This might sound like a long time away, but it's about 90 days away for the primary. Then the general election for our city council members and mayor's office will be next May. And so it's time now for us to start actively becoming involved and trying to get candidates like Don Redmond elected for city council that will look out for our interest. When I say our, I'm talking about Christians, moral, ethical citizens of Duval County, that there will be a representative on city council that represents us. And Group 4 at Large is for the entire city. He's not running for just a district, but it's to represent us as an entire city. And so I'm thankful for that. Don, we're talking about Thanksgiving and thankfulness and being and showing gratitude. I find it a little interesting and yet sad that when it comes to some of the statistical material that I've read, our millennials today, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, and now, ladies and gentlemen, if you fall into that category, this is not meant in a demeaning fashion, but it's meant as an enlightening fact that you might recognize it. But in the millennial age group, Don, most of them are concerned about not the food we eat and the clothes we wear and a place to stay, but they feel somehow, some way that they're entitled to a new car. They're entitled to the best food, the best clothes, the best housing. Somehow they feel they're entitled to, rather than recognizing that all that we have as American citizens is as a result of the grace and the sovereignty of God. I am thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we can reflect back on what God has done for us in America. Don, I can recall, and I don't know your backstory, as I call it, but I can recall growing up at home with a mother. My dad had passed away when I was 5 years old. I recall very little about him other than what I was told growing up about from my mother. She worked about 90 hours a week in a spinning mill, and that's where they make the yarn to make the thread to make the cloth for fabric. And she worked about 90 hours a week. Her take-home pay was $26 a week. And with that $26 a week, she had the responsibility of raising four children in the home and taking care of the food, clothing, and shelter and meeting the need. But she always would have us to pray, and we would give thanksgiving and praise to the Lord for what he provided for us. I recall living in those days in a home with no electricity, home that had no running water. But yet we had kerosene lamps. We had a well to draw water from. And with that, we did not think of ourselves as being poor. We looked at ourselves as being thankful that God was providing for us. And that's a missing element in society today, where there's so many amenities, so many things that Americans have today, that most of our kids growing up as millennials today feel that it is normal to have those things and feel that if you don't have them, you can show ingratitude. So, Don, when we think about gratitude and thanksgiving and thankfulness, Don, I know that we are thankful to be alive. We're thankful to be able to serve the Lord. We're thankful that we have the privilege, and as we said at the outset of this broadcast, thankful to have the health to do so. Tell our listeners, Brother Don, some of the things that when reelected. Now, you know me, I don't like to use the term if you're reelected. Tell our listeners, when you are reelected to city council, what are some of the things that you want to accomplish for our city? What are some of the things that God being your helper, God giving you the wisdom, God giving the health and the strength and the success in the race of what you would want to do for Jacksonville?
Thank you, Brother Gene. And you telling us of your growing up years sounds a lot similar to mine. I grew up on a farm and was raised by a father. My mother had a nervous breakdown when I was 2 years old and spent the rest of my growing up years in a mental institution. So my father raised three children, and we were thankful for what we had, never asked the government for anything. My father worked a full-time job and raised three children, and all of us successfully. But as a city councilman, there are a lot of things that are really concern me. I thank God for my salvation. God saved me and gave me the ability and gave me a purpose, I feel like, to serve our community. I'm doing this because I think God wants me to do this. Amen. I feel God is leading me to do this.
Amen.
And we all have a purpose, and each one of you out there listening has a purpose in life, and God has a reason. Now, I have concerns about the issue that we've already talked about. That needs to come around, and the people need to be able to vote to decide who are that. Well, we need to change the HRO legislation and get rid of it and put everybody on an equal playing field and be, you know, fair to everybody. There's things happening already that we need to deal with. And there's issues that, you know, the corporate welfare has gotten out of control, and we're giving away money to big corporations coming to Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a great city, and I can't see any reason why, and I know these corporations, most of them would come here with or without an incentive that we are giving them, paying them, to come here. We're hearing a lot about, what New York just paid a company to come
Amazon.
There. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous. And this is we getting in competition with other large cities around the country.
Well, what we do,
Brother
Don, for our listeners' edification and benefit, our city, as well as many cities across America, will pay these huge corporate giants, and we pay them by giving them upfront millions of dollars incentive to come to our city. Then we give them tax-free existence for 10, 15 years. And by the time that tax-free ride is over, they'll usually make a decision to go to another city that will offer the same thing.
Sure.
And pull out of the city that's given it. And yet with small business, independent small businesses, there are no incentives like that. There's nothing. There's no free ride. There's no gift handouts. And so it is where government comes into play to decide on winners and losers. And I'm personally against that, and I know you are, as you had just stated. Don, we have a movement in Jacksonville, and it was started by Anna Broche, which was the council president at the time, to remove our heritage foundation, fundamental heritage monuments. What would be your position? And I know it's going to be revived in the new council session, where there will be a move to do that. What is your position on that, and why are you against it?
I'm dead set against it, and you know, our history is very important to us. I mean, we are getting to the point in our public schools to where they don't teach real history anymore, and to think that we could remove objects from our city that might have an educational benefit to our young people growing up as to the history of this country. Maybe not that, you know, even the bad things that took place in this country, if you don't know what caused them and what happened, you may end up repeating it. So, you know, we need to educate people on our history, and we definitely don't need to be tearing down or hauling away any statues or monuments that represent our history. History is so important. And
well, there's some historical monuments up across the nation that I disagree with, that the one that's seated on the horse is standing upright. With statements that that individual had made and or the life that that person had lived, that I'm against. But I don't think it is my prerogative to say we need to take that statue down.
Right.
Because, as you said, that inculcates our history, whether good or bad. It's the history of America. And I'm in total disagreement with removing our monuments and trying to whitewash our history and to remove the historical facts. In fact, we have today multitudes of new monuments and statues going up across America, representing less than conservatism, representing less than moral ethical leadership, representing less than a constitutional republic, and more focused on the lifestyle. There are a lot of folks today that are pushing for the recognition of those in history past that were major Hollywood stars or major political leaders that were sodomites, and they're wanting to recognize them and inculcate that in some type of monumental structure. I'm against that. But I am also for the recognition of our history. Don, I am thankful that we have the privilege to represent God in government, because after all, the Bible says that government is the minister of God, that God has created government, and government is designed to punish the wicked and to protect the good. And yet we're seeing a major reversal of that on a national and statewide and local level. So as a result of that statement, let me just interject, ladies and gentlemen. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can join the dialogue and discussion or ask your question to Brother Don by dialing 401-1413. Don Redmond is a candidate for Group 4 at-large city council member, with the primary coming up in March, the general election in May. But Don, here's an article that I find fascinating that our people, our listeners need to hear. Gratitude interventions are actually good for you. Being grateful is good for you, this article says. It's good for your health. Even recent studies at Columbia and Yale universities found that belief in God can make your brain healthier. Writing for the livingnow.com, November the 4th issue, Diana Manos notes, quote, "For generations, people have always had a general sense that belief in God could somehow have a positive impact on one's health. But now there is scientific evidence that supports that belief." This article further says, "This is not surprising to me. The study after study has shown that there are health benefits on regular church going. If you want to add years to your life, go to church regularly. Applied Christianity, for example, has forgiven and forgiven others, has been forgiven and forgiven others. Also, results in all sorts of benefits in addition to joy of knowing Jesus Christ and trusting Him for eternal life. One of the components of committed spirituality is practical gratitude. An attitude of gratitude sounds like a platitude, but it's actually good for you, this article says. The pilgrims went to something in setting aside a day, in this case in 1621, 3 days for thanksgiving and thanking God. And, of course, for Thanksgiving is something good to practice year-round and not just on a certain day, as this writer says. And this writer says, like the pilgrims, we do well to practice gratitude to God, and not just at Thanksgiving time, but all year round. Just belief in God can be good for your brain. Thanksgiving can be good for your health. And so, Don, at this Thanksgiving season, I'm thankful that we have the privilege to have this dialogue and discussion today to introduce you to our audience that may not know you. And ladies and gentlemen, I recommend that you contact Don and talk with him about his election and see how you can get on board. In just a moment, we'll give some information about that, that you can do so. Don, there's a thing that is an issue that's being bounded about now in the city council. And the question is, because we have, I believe it's $2.8 million that the United Arab Emirates, that's the UAE, donated to the city of Jacksonville. And there's a, back in, I believe it was September, city council voted unanimously to accept the dollars. And now they're having guilt conscience and pangs of conscience and second thoughts. What do you think about our city accepting $2.8 million from a Islamic regime that does not believe in human rights, an Islamic regime that provides for us jihadism around the globe to kill innocent Christians and non-Muslims? What is your position on that very serious issue? Should Jacksonville keep the $2.8 million, or should it be returned?
I don't think we need to do business with anybody that is out to destroy us, our country, our faith. I mean, I fought a battle with Parvez Ahmad when I was on the city council before, when they appointed him to the Human Rights Commission of the city of Jacksonville. And I believe that, you know, his background in itself is enough to warrant turning down this money, because I understand he had a part in trying to secure this money for the city of
Absolutely.
Jacksonville.
In fact, he went to the UAE, United Arab Emirates, and he encouraged them to donate some $50 million to the city of Jacksonville over a 10-year period of time. And he said it will come back and you'll be able to reap benefits from it. As many are not aware of, the UAE tried to get control of our ports across America, and the Congress voted no on it. And then as a result of that, Parvez Ahmad made it his business to see that the UAE was in a position to donate to the city of Jacksonville. And this is just one of the down payments on the future investment. And Don, I feel it's simply where we have an Islamic regime, jihadism, trying to buy influence into our city. Here's one writer that said, the fact is that money buys influence, and Leonard Curry and the city council failed to uphold their oath of office and protect the citizens of Jacksonville from this unsavory influence to the detriment of all citizens in Jacksonville.
You got a man there that was a chairman of CARE and connection with the Muslim Brotherhood that is trying to move more of the Muslim community into our city.
Yes, for the influence.
And it's dangerous. And, you know, people need to study and find out just what is behind this and find out more about what the Muslim community is doing to work their way into government, not only Jacksonville,
but across
government
the nation
in general.
Well, it's what is called silent jihad, where there's an attempt to control based on the dollars. Don, we've got about 30 seconds left in this broadcast. If you would tell our audience how they can contact you to support you as candidate for City Council Group 4 at large.
I am Don Redmond, running for City Council at large candidate. You can contact me with my cell phone. Call me at any time, 904-626-9307. Or you can go to my website, vote for Don Redmond at att.net, or my website, Don Redmond at comcast.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Don,
happy
would you like
to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody? To yes. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, and may you be blessed of the Lord, and be always remembering we need to show an attitude of gratitude for what God is doing for us. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.